Blog Talk Radio.
Broadcasting worldwide on internet radio.
Refreshing takes on legal strategies.
Straightforward answers to difficult tax questions.
Independent ideas on building wealth. It's the Refresher Wealth Show with Mark Kohler and Matt Sorensen.
Get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.
Now, here's Mark and Matt.
Well, welcome everybody to today's show. My name is Mark Kohler, yours truly, with my amazing co-host, Matt Sorensen. Welcome to any of you that are a new listener here to Refresh Your Wealth. We're here every week trying to rock your world with tax tips, legal tips, business tips, asset protection tips. Man, we're just trying to be your basic CPA and lawyer, but communicating in a English manner. We want to make sure we're making sense and having fun doing it. So we want to be your tax and legal voice. But we're excited for today's show. We got a good guest, and we've got some fun stuff to cover. Matt, do you want to introduce our show today? This is kind of a big deal.
Yeah, this is cool. We've got an amazing guest. This guy's, from what I understand, he's kind of a big deal. We've got Steve Olscher. He is chairman and co-founder of Liquor.com. He's got some New York Times bestselling books, the most popular being What Is Your What? Discover the One Amazing Thing You Were Born to Do. It's funny because when we announced the guest for the show, I had friends of mine who were like, hey, I've read that guy's book. He's awesome. He's got a podcast also. So we're going to be talking about online businesses, succeeding online in business. For those of you who have a regular brick-and-mortar business, I want to try and draw some tips out from Steve about how you can do more online. And obviously, those of you who are fully online, this is going to be an awesome show from someone who really knows what they're doing in the online business world.
Yeah, I can't envision any business that really shouldn't at least have a landing page on the web.
Right.
We all need at least it's kind of like the yellow pages of life now. I think it almost goes without saying. But
yeah.
There's so many businesses that have a product or even a service that could be marketed in a unique way on the web and on the internet and increase sales. And we've got some examples. We'll share some. But here, what is your what? I love that. Matt, I had a phone call today. It was like literally just an hour and a half ago with a client in the Midwest. And They're talking about getting out of debt, making more money. And I asked one of the spouses there, I said, what do you like doing? And they said, well, I like giving money away. And I go, well, we all like giving money away. But I said, what do you like doing that makes money? And I said, that's legal. And I said, what do you like doing that makes money? And I go, because that's that what? What is that what that you're going to wake up every day and be passionate about that's going to help you pay the bills? There's got to be something.
Yes.
And on the phone call, we talked just about that. So I love this. This is good stuff. So we're gonna have a fun time going over this.
Mark's just not a nerdy CPA that can tell you how much you're going to get to depreciate on your rental property. I mean, he's getting to the core of the business owner, and he wants to know, what do you like to do? I love that. I love how the Mark Kohler consult goes.
Well, and this is the theme of my book, What Your CPA Isn't Telling You. I think all the listeners out there, who's the one advisor that you're going to have to meet with every year? That you hate it. It's like going to the dentist, maybe. You got to meet with your CPA every year. And some of you have given up on that concept. You just go to TurboTax because you become apathetic. Yeah. It's frustrating. My CPA doesn't do anything but plug in the numbers. And that's why I was talking to this client, ironically, from the Midwest this morning. They said that same thing. But I really believe your CPA and your business lawyer, and that's what we have here at KKOS Lawyers, is your business lawyer and CPA should be asking you, how's your business coming? Are you making money? What could you be doing better? What is your what? And so it's exciting to have a topic today where we get to focus on that and then turn it into the, turn to the internet. That little thing that makes us money called the internet.
It's gonna
be good. So
heard of it.
Yeah. So, Matt, I think here before we, you know, we're going to go over our questions of the week and talk about a variety of things in your business world, but we always like to start with a tax and legal tip. Matt, are you ready with a legal tip? Are you ready to rock the house?
I'm ready. Let's get ill.
Okay.
Not illegal,
a legal tip that you can actually use.
A legal tip where you don't feel like you have to take a shower after.
All right. Now, we've got estate planning month coming up. We're going to be doing some shows just about estate planning. But I want to give just a brief little tip on one of the documents that's part of your estate plan. And that is the financial powers of attorney. And this is just something I've had come up in this past week with a client. They're elderly, husband and wife. Husband was unable to really manage financial affairs and make decisions. They were selling a property, and wife needed to be able to sign for him. And they hadn't done some estate planning. There was no financial powers of attorneys available, so it became somewhat of a problem to then later get those done and signed. So when you have a properly completed estate plan, one of the documents in there is going to be a financial power of attorney that usually will say something to the effect of, if you're unable to make decisions regarding finances, like, you know, your for health reasons or whatever it may be, you appoint someone who can make those decisions for you. And in this case, it would have been the spouse. Obviously, that during your lifetime, you typically pick that person if you have a spouse, or you can designate someone else. But that's a nice document to have and use. If that you get into that situation, it's a financial power of attorney, one of, you know, six or seven other documents that will be part of your estate plan, but still an important piece to make sure you have as part of your estate plan so that if you're in that situation, and if people are getting older, living longer, They're dealing with health issues longer in life, particularly between spouses or someone who's a caregiver for, you know, maybe a married couple who's or someone who's single. It's really nice to have those types of powers of attorney in place so that they don't delay any major transactions like the sale of a piece of real estate in this case.
Matt, what a wonderful tip. I love it.
I know.
And, of course, you know, hitting the estate planning topic is a big one. Boy, it just with Prince's death, who we're going to be talking about, and trying to get some updated information on that. Quite the salacious news feed on Prince's situation. Gene Simmons of Kiss was, you know, commenting. Everybody loves it when he comments because, you know, it's going to be it's even worse than Donald Trump comment. I've got to be careful with my political comments nowadays. Boy. But you never know what you're going to hear. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying good or bad about Donald Trump and his candidacy, but his comments can be taken kind of wild and crazy sometimes and take a turn. But anyway, Gene Simmons commented on Prince and his estate plan.
I know you're
is
a
now
big fan
going
of Gene.
To go. Yes, I love his book, Me, Inc. I just talked to one of my kids last night and said, you're going to read Gene Simmons' book. And they're like, the lead singer, Kiss? I was, of course, happy they knew that. But it's a great book. The first half of the book. I love the first half. And some of you that may be thinking, what? Gene Simmons? Mark Kohler's talking about Kiss? Have an open ear. He's quite the businessman. And even though he makes some wild and crazy comments in the media, his story is quite amazing. No drinking, no drugs, no smoking, and a great businessman. Now he has some other vices, it's pretty amazing. So Matt, great comment. It opens that whole conversation. I like it.
Yep.
Well, we're going to go to a little tax tip if we may. I think this will add a financial tip.
A tax tip you can actually understand and won't put you to sleep.
A tax tip that could save you thousands.
All right. Well, my tax tip today, and I'm waffling literally right now on the fly. I'm debating which tax tip to give. I've got two or three of them, but honestly, I sometimes forget what tax tip I've given in the past. You'd think I'd keep a schedule of all these, but every day of my life is full of tax tips. I'm going to throw down this one. I'm going to throw down 100% entertainment expense. Matt, what do you think of that? Is that worth it? Should we talk about that? You like it?
I like all those things. 100% entertainment and expense. Trifecta.
I should say write-off. You know, Matt and I are pretty tight. We don't like expenses, but we like write-offs.
There you go.
Okay, so here's the deal. Everybody listening right now, if you know your tax rules at all, most of you know that dining and entertainment is limited by 50%. So if Matt and I go golfing and we talk business while we're golfing, in fact, we may even go to Top Golf, which we did last week, and had a business meeting while hitting golf balls off. Oh, was that fun, Matt? It was freaking awesome, right?
Oh, I want to let everybody know, I got annihilated. It was kind of embarrassing. Kohler's not like an awesome golfer. He's good, but I was terrible. I just got smoked.
Well, and I don't know if you can really call it golfing, hitting off a platform, eating wings, I was just having a fun time. It was good. But you have to hit into these spots and you get points. It was fun. Okay, here's the thing. If Matt and I go play Top Golf and talk business, ooh, you're going to like this tip, Matt. Okay, you don't even know this one. This is good. So if Matt and I go play Top Golf, talk business, we get a 50% deduction for the meal and the golfing cost, because it's entertainment and dining, and we're talking business as business partners. Okay, everybody listening, you get it, right? 50% reduction because we had some fun and we had food, and the IRS says, hey, if you got to eat, you're going to play, we'll at least give you a 50% write-off. But wouldn't it be awesome if we could write off 100% of that entertainment? Well, there's been some rulings in the last 24 months, and I've been studying some other experts out there who don't make it sound as cool as me, so I get to repeat their hard work of researching this. Okay, but here's what you can do. You can take 100% entertainment expense when it is a company event where more than 50% of the attendees are non-owners and officers. Let me repeat that. If more than 50% of the people that are at the corporate event or the business event to build camaraderie and have fun and company morale, and more than 50% of the attendees are non-owners or family, you know, they can't be family members on the payroll, but they've got to be non-owner employees, you can write off 100%. So an example, if Matt and I take our team, our lawyers and paralegals, and we go down Top Golf, and Matt and I are the only ones there as partners, but over 50% of the people would be our staff enjoying the day, because we're building camaraderie as a company event, and it's all employees, or it's an exclusive company event, and more than 50% are employees. We get to write off 100% of that Top Golf, including 100% of the food, Matt. Bam.
Love it. Like, can I just say right on to that write off?
Yes, you can. It's a really, really good one. And so I'm really excited about this. There's some specific code sections and rulings on this. And I've got some of the experts around the country that have been writing about it. And I'm just taking it to a whole new level, sharing it here on Refresh Your Wealth. So there's your tax tip, folks, for the day. 100% entertainment and dining for your company events. There you go.
I like that. You know, I thought you were going to love my write-on, write-off, write-on, that write-off. You know, I think you could maybe make some T-shirts if you want, or, you know, maybe do a little logo with that. just if you want, I'll license it to you if you need to. You just let me know.
Okay. I like it. Write-on to write-off. I like it. Well, we definitely need some better tax and legal T-shirts out there. There's not much. Okay, well, Matt, do you want to introduce our guest, or should I introduce this amazing guest that we're going to dive into on this topic?
Yeah, Steve on. I'll be happy to introduce him.
All right, let's do it. Let's get Steve on the line. I know he's on the line on hold, but he's going to have to listen to this amazing introduction. It's always embarrassing, but before we let Steve talk, we've got to tell all of our listeners how cool he is.
All right. Well, Steve Ulscher, he's really cool. No, but seriously, Steve is chairman and co-founder of Liquor.com. He's been an online pioneer, New York Times best-selling author of What Is Your What? He's also host of a number one rated radio show and podcast, Reinvention Radio. He is very well known, a high demand guy, been on TV as a guest in his area of expertise, which we're going to be talking about today. And as I said in the opening here, once we announced Steve was going to be on the show, I had a lot of friends of mine reach out to me and say, "Oh, I love that guy," and they're excited to for this show today. So, Steve, welcome to the Refresh Your Wealth Show. Thanks for being with us.
Hey guys, thanks for having me on.
Well, we know how busy you are too, Steve. So we won't. I know you had to put up with a little bit there, as you were on hold listening to our attempt to make tax and legal sexy. But we appreciate your time. We definitely want to dive into it.
Yep, no worries, all good.
Oh, thank you. Well, Steve, we really want to kind of, with this valuable time we have with you, kind of carve it up into two topics. The first one is this: what is your what? Early on in the show, I highlighted the fact I just had a conversation with some clients today, asking them what do you want to do? What do you love doing? What do you, you know, what's that all about? We'd like to talk about why you wrote that book and how it came to be, and maybe a little bit about that before we jump into the internet. Do you mind sharing us a little bit about that book and what made you write it?
You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've heard the quote before, but certainly not mine that I can lay claim to. But the quote is that basically an author writes the book that he or she most needs. So it's interesting because, you know, really that's kind of the story of my life, which is really trying to answer that question, you know, of what is it that I'm truly fired up to do? How am I naturally wired to excel? What is it that I'm passionate about? And yeah, after taking the Myers-Briggs and what color is your parachute and StrengthsFinders and all those sort of things, most of those modalities just left me with more questions than answers. And so, you know, school does a decent job of teaching you how to read and write and do some math, but they don't really do you any justice in terms of teaching you how to live. And so being ill-equipped to really figure that out and having gone through what others said, hey, this is what you got to do, you know, it's all well and good to know that you're a ENFJ or whatever you are there, but it's like, you know, WTF, you know, I mean, like, what do you do with that? You know, it's, I don't, you know, whatever, it's meaningless. So what ended up happening basically was I created a framework that I thought would help people, including myself, and began teaching that right around 2009, and then really perfected that framework over the next 4 odd years before I released the book, What Is Your What? And that includes obviously the training around the framework that helps people figure that out.
Steve, if you could maybe give us a quick insight onto maybe one of those tips that you think is important for people. You know, most of our listeners are business owners, self-employed, investors. And that, you know, we all do that soul searching that you're talking about. What's maybe a quick tip we can leave? I want to jump into this online business stuff, but what's maybe a quick tip you can share from that?
Yeah, and look, I mean, what I created isn't rocket science. As a matter of fact, it's so simple, you'd probably think like, geez, that's something I'm surprised no one else has ever come up with. But as you guys know, as you know, in the business world, sometimes the best ideas are the ones that are the most simple. And so the tip that I'll leave folks with is just really getting a clear understanding of what the framework is. And it's very simple. It's three parts, which includes number one, gaining clarity on what your core gift is, because I do believe that we all have one core gift. Number two, getting clarity on the vehicle, the primary vehicle that you use to share that gift with the world. And then number three, getting clear on the people that you're most compelled to serve. And it's like a tripod. One doesn't work without the other two. But really, it's something that you don't even need my book for to figure out. But of course, my book will help you.
I love it. So powerful. And I love this and I hate to use this word, but touchy-feely comment in a, or concept in a way, because it really is. You got to get in touch with your feelings and what you believe in and what you're passionate about. And it, but you know what? That's what gets people up in the morning. It's, you know, I mean, the technical pieces of building a business and the structure and what you can write off and all that, that's cool. I geek out on that stuff. But I think this is so powerful because when you got to get up in the morning and put on a smiley face and get excited about your business, it better be darn well something you believe in. I don't know. I love it, Steve.
And that you're good at.
Yeah.
And you're good at. Yeah, that's very good. Well,
because,
well,
you know,
as Matt said,
I'd like to be in the NBA, but, you know.
Yeah, Matt would like to be a pro golfer, but after Top Golf last week, I'll rein him in on that one. Steve, okay, now, as Matt said, we have promised our listeners that we are going to talk about internet here. And so we do have some, just kind of some basic questions, maybe hit some base hits here, as we then talk about how to really maximize your wealth on the internet and some of the strategies you think are cutting edge right now. But a couple basic questions to get everybody engaged in this. Do you think there's certain businesses that shouldn't be on the internet? Should everybody be out there on the internet selling? What do you kind of tell a group of business owners when they're trying to find out if the internet's a good fit for them?
You know, it really depends on your sales structure and your sales model. In other words, if you don't need an online presence in order to do what it is that you do, because your lead funnel doesn't require folks to actually see you online or something of that nature, and you're not selling product that is applicable for being sold online, then no. You know, I mean, I really just think it's a matter of folks think like they have to be online, and most companies do, but there are companies out there that can get away with not having their own web presence per se, but can simply take advantage of some of the tools that are available online, whether it be through apps or mobile or through social media, et cetera, without killing yourself on having a phenomenal online presence. And there's just a lot of folks who, frankly, waste a lot of time, energy, you know, and resources on creating a site that really provides no ROI.
Yeah, I think almost all of our clients, whether you're a restaurant, a dentist, you know, we have a lot of clients who are just have online businesses just in and of themselves. You know, they don't have a storefront or office necessarily. I think all of them have a website. I think it's more rare to find one that doesn't. You know, how should someone though? What are some of the things people are doing wrong? What's some one of the things, if you could find the typical business person and their website and how they're trying to get sales online? Let's assume they're trying to do that. That's part of what they're looking to break into, or they're looking to do better. Where do you typically see a lot of mistakes and things that can be corrected?
The major mistake, the number one mistake that most companies make, is they make the website about them. And reality is nobody cares. You know, I don't care if you've got the best tax firm in the world. I don't care if you've got the best legal firm in the world. Your accolades and all that are all well and good, but speak to me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I'm not coming there to learn about you. I'm coming there to learn about how you can help me. And most sites talk way too much about who they are and why they're Mr. Wonderful or Mrs. Wonderful, and not enough about the actual benefit and rationale behind why someone should step up to actually hire you. And in my way of thinking, the best thing that you could possibly do in your site is to just simply talk about case studies. Who have you helped? What have you done for them? If you want us to do it for you too, here's the number. End of story.
Now, Steve,
getting some free advice here, Mark.
I love it. Pardon, Matt?
We're getting some free advice here.
Yeah. That's right. We need it. Now, Steve, maybe there is two camps. I've always felt there's those people that have a business that need to use the internet more. They've got a product or service that can be commoditized on the web. But there's a big group of people now that are using Amazon reselling as a platform, Etsy, eBay, all these different platforms where people can sell product or sell a package or this internet marketing wave. Tell us what you're seeing out there. What's cutting edge right now and people are trying to do on the web that is just people have got to know about?
Well, I think I'm actually going to go backwards on this because what people need to know about really more than anything else, and we can talk about things like optimized webinar sequences and like what you guys do with your own show and you know, positioning and becoming an authority and an influencer, et cetera. I mean, that's certainly a line of conversation that we can have. But what I believe is most cutting edge, and frankly, this is going to be counterintuitive, is when people stop trying to create sites that try to do too many things. I mean, a website really should only do one of two things. It should either capture leads or it should sell products or services, period. And most companies that I see try to do way too much. And frankly, it's really unclear who that site is for. And you've really got to make this, you got to take a stand. And, you know, when you guys start this show, basically, if you're not interested in tax or legal advice, turn it off now. I mean, that's like, you know, it's that simple. If you're interested in tax and legal advice, tune in. If you're not, turn it off. You know, and most people are afraid to eliminate potential prospects, potential clients, because they think that they can convert them. You can't convert someone to become a fly fisherman if they don't have any interest in fishing. I don't care who you are. So, you know, if you're selling something that people don't want or they don't need, they're nothing you can say is going to change that. So, frankly, the most cutting-edge tactic at this point is be real specific about what you do and just be absolutely willing to alienate folks who come to your site who aren't a good fit.
Hey, Steve, can you maybe give us on – I know the liquor.com is on your resume. I know you've got some other interests and businesses, but maybe give us personal experience or example you've had on some of the strategies that have worked or some of the things you've changed and how you're selling online that have personally made a difference for you.
Yeah, I think one of the best strategies that is underutilized, and we've used it quite extensively, is working with people who are in your vertical, right? So when you look at, like, let's just say, hypothetically, you're in the – so let's just use the law profession. Let's just use that as an example. Who are people that are in your vertical? And matter of fact, let me just throw that out to you. When I talk about vertical, what do you think I'm referring to? Who are some of the people that you would say are in your vertical?
Well, I'd say
what sort of companies?
Current clients. Yeah, current clients, past clients, and then we probably start segmenting into products, like people that have maybe done an estate plan or set up an entity with us or are in company maintenance. So I would think of people that have bought from us would be our vertical.
All right, let's try it a different way. So how about people that you would refer to for work that is related to what you do, but you don't do it?
Okay, so that thanks for your patience. We're probably screwing up your example.
No,
I'm good. Horizontal, you know, people and other products. So other people that would be related to our services might be a financial advisor, someone that may sell insurance. It could be someone that may sell credit services, how to build corporate credit. It could be a realtor or someone that's helping people buy rental properties. Is that?
Yeah, and so how would you – Yeah, perfect. How would you classify most of your clients? Are they small businesses, big businesses, medium businesses? Are they in a particular sector? As you look at most of your clients, where do they fall?
Most of them are business owners, and they'd be small business owners with, I guess you'd say, net income of anywhere from 50 grand to 400 grand. They're not, you know, everywhere in between. But small business owners in general, they may own real estate or not, but they're business owners, the far majority.
Okay. And so what I'm talking about is partnering with those folks in a way that basically benefits all of you. In other words, contests are really, really good. You know, contests, everybody loves a contest. Everybody loves getting something for free. And so if you created some sort of contest where the benefit of entering that contest, literally just by providing your name and email, is to get perhaps, you know, maybe for small businesses, what are they looking for? They're looking for things like assistance. They're looking
some sort
for things
of free
like,
legal,
you know.
Maybe some
free legal education
or some tax legal or a book or something that helps.
Exactly. Something that makes their life better, something that makes their business more profitable, whatever that might be. You know, maybe Michael Gerber, right, who's the author of The E-Myth. You know, maybe maybe having like him on a private webinar or something like that, where you paid him, you know, $1,000 or whatever it might be to give a 30-minute webinar, you know, something like that, where it would be just kind of like, okay, yeah, man, this is definitely something I would have an interest in as a business owner, right? Something like that. So bottom line is all of the folks, you can get 5, 6, 10, it doesn't matter. I mean, typically we found that the sweet spot is about 5. You get 5 partners to come together and basically create this giveaway. And the giveaway is whatever it might be that's related to the vertical. And in that giveaway, folks are entering their name and email, and we're going to choose a winner from all of the entries. You mail your list, your insurance company mails their list, your financial planner mails their list, et cetera. So everyone is mailing their list about this contest. And when folks opt in to this contest, they basically are agreeing to receive, you know, news and updates from all of you. So they can unsubscribe, of course, at any time. But what we have found is that we can consistently add anywhere between 30 and 100,000 new subscribers each and every month just through that sort of giveaway process, because everybody loves something for free. Not everybody's going to stick, but it's saying that you have the ability to partner with folks that, you know, frankly, you might not have even thought were logical partners. But when you come right down to it, since you're in complementary spaces, there is the possibility that one or two or three of those 1,000 leads that might come from your other partners could turn into clients. So when you're talking about an average ticket, you tell me what's the average, let's not even call it lifetime value per customer, but what's the average annual value to your company, you know, per customer right now?
Well, that can vary dramatically. So but this is a great example. I see what you're saying is that, because you can say how much time did we spend on this project or this gift, and then how many customers do we get out of it and what's their value, and do a quick cost benefit analysis, right? I mean, that's what we're getting down to. Does it make sense, right? I love it.
It's also a relationship builder, because what will end up happening is you may not convert anyone in the first month, the first, you know, quarter, the first half year. But if you begin opening that dialogue and you demonstrate that you are, in fact, the authority, the expert in that niche, and you're constantly adding value to their lives on a consistent basis, like you guys did the tax tips earlier, right? I mean, you know, that sort of thing where you put that in writing and you send that out, even if it's just a 70-word email. I mean, it doesn't have to be this big, long, extensive newsletter. And people at the end of the day appreciate you're adding value for them. And maybe it's not today, maybe it's not tomorrow, but if you pick up, you know, 4, 5, 10,000 new subscribers because you partner with people in your vertical, who knows what that will convert into over the long haul. But I guarantee you, you build your database, you'll build rapport, and eventually you'll land additional customers.
Hey, Steve, I like this contest idea. I had a quick question on the giveaway you talked about, are you wanting to make the giveaway something that is going to be interested particularly to the people you're trying to attract? Like for us, you know, we'd want to attract a small business owner, so we'd make it small business owner related. You know, the webinar you offer, you mentioned could be a private webinar, could be a good thing, or something business related, versus like saying, you know, you get the winner gets an iPad or something that might draw more people that aren't necessarily interested in business or services we would provide. But does the product really make a big difference, or should you just try and, I don't know, that's the question I have. What you win in the contest matter?
You know, it's interesting. Some of our biggest, some of the contests that we've run through liquor.com that have attracted the most entries have been contests where you would think it has absolutely no appeal whatsoever because it's not related to wine or champagne or spirits or whatever it might be, but it's related to lifestyle. And when you come right down to it, that's really what our business is all about. It's all about lifestyle. And so when you are in business, anything that is related to business is of value. I mean, and frankly, that could even be something as innocuous as two nights hotel stay in Manhattan, right? Because who knows, they may have business to do in Manhattan at some point, and on the surface, it doesn't look like it's, you know, even remotely similar or, you know, aligned with what you guys are doing. But in the back of their mind, they might be thinking, hey, you know, I go out to Manhattan once every, you know, few months. So cool. A couple free, you know, hotel nights. It's worth my name and email. So the answer is I wouldn't get caught up in worrying about whether or not it is aligned, because you'd be hard pressed to come up with something that wasn't aligned. I mean, you really have to go outside of sort of the scope of business, and I can't even imagine, even like a massage. I mean, like what business owner sits in a chair, you know, for 7 hours a day, you know, doesn't want to, you know, to get an hour-long massage, you know? So it's like I can't even think of – there's very few things that I could think of that they wouldn't have an interest in.
Steve, Mark here again. And this contest idea is fantastic, and thanks for sharing such a specific tip, because I know our listeners want to walk away and use something here. I had an email question from one of our listeners here during the show, and I wanted to bring it up, and I know you've got to get going, so we'll maybe one more question, and then we want to get your contact information out for everybody too. So changing speeds here, kind of stepping back. The question that came through, and I'm going to try to paraphrase it because it was a little long, is where does social media again fit into your internet marketing plan? Is it all about SEO and your website and making your website look great? How much do you emphasize social media? Is it overemphasized? Is it not used enough? What's your personal position on social media when you start talking about internet marketing?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, it's you can certainly be in business without being in the social media world. No doubt about that. And frankly, you know, we've been doing it for millennia. So, you know, social media is a relatively new thing. But I do believe that the key is really understanding where your people are in terms of where do they gather? Where do you find your potential clients? Now, the odds of your clients being on, well, Snapchat or, you know, maybe, you know, Instagram or something like that, I, you know, not as likely as those clients being on LinkedIn or participating in one of the business-oriented Facebook groups. You know, so reality is that social media as a whole is a phenomenal lead gen and sales gen tool, no doubt. But what I would suggest more than anything else is just picking a horse and riding it, and literally riding that horse for a year. And before you even look at another social media channel, and give yourself an opportunity to really gain momentum before you chase that next object.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I like thinking of where people gather. I've just been sitting here pondering as you said that, thinking of myself and our clients and where are they? Where are they getting their information? Where are they logging in?
Yeah. And that's where,
Snapchat, but, yeah.
And that's where, frankly, you ask, you know? I mean, most people don't ask enough on a consistent basis. I mean, you should be surveying your clients at a minimum of once a quarter with open-ended questions that you can get answers to various, I mean, just even if it's just like, what is the most challenging issue for you, you know, that you're facing in the next 6 months? You know, I mean, whatever it might be, at a minimum, once per quarter, you should be surveying your folks. And then one of the questions that you should ask when you do it is, you know, what primary social media channel do you use? And that'll get you some of your answers.
I love it. I'm glad you brought up surveying. I'm a huge fan of surveying and engaging with the client as well as gathering important data to know what to do next. So many people are out of touch with their customers, and I feel like I could do a better job of being in touch as well. Well, Steve, you've been wonderful. You've spent – I know how valuable your time is, and we're so grateful that you've been able to break away and spend some time with us and our listeners. Where would you like people to go to get more information about you? You're out there with so many different resources. Where would you like our customers to engage with you?
Yeah, you know, I think the best place to start is just go on iTunes or go on Stitcher and check out Reinvention Radio, which is the radio show that I do that we then turn into a podcast. But start there, and if you like what you hear, and you know my style, my brand isn't going to be for everyone. So if it's if it's something that you listen to and you go, yeah, this is someone I'd like to hang out with and learn more about, then the next best place would be Steve Olsher, OLSHER.com.
All right, Steve. Well, thanks so much for being on. Appreciate your expertise and knowledge. Thanks for sharing it with our listeners.
Yep, you got it, guys. Take care.
Yeah. Thanks, Steve. And folks, if you're, of course, many of our listeners are on our newsletter and blog each week, and we'll have links to Steve's website and his podcast. So you can click right on it on the newsletter next week. And gosh, cool stuff, Matt. Man, I mean, I probably filled out 3 post-its here on my desk. As we were just kind of trying
yeah.
to think of things.
You know, you have a good
doing.
Guess when you're taking notes. I did the same thing. I filled up a whole page on my legal pad of just the notes and just personal takeaways from it. So I hope everyone else found it helpful, and it's always good for us to have an expert on. We know when they're helping us, they're helping you guys too. The concepts
yeah.
he was teaching
and
really any business.
Totally. And I want to just give an extra tip here, if I may, I, to be so bold on this topic. Before we go into our questions of the week and send you guys off, we're so grateful for our listeners. But let me give a little tip. Matt and I have the unique pleasure, and it really sometimes I feel very selfish that it benefits me more than anybody else, is we get to work with probably 2 to 3 new clients a day. Then we have our regular client base that we're circling back with that have follow-up calls and appointments and all that. But Matt and I literally meet 2 to 3 new clients a day just with new appointments. And when you do the math on that, that could be 1,000 new small business owners that Matt and I get to engage with in a given year. And so I learn so, so much from these customers and these clients as they share their story. And so on this internet marketing point, because I didn't want to get off this yet. Matt, maybe you've got an important internet marketing takeaway from the clients you've been working with. And here's what I want to say is 2 things. I want to reach out to 2 different groups out there. Number one, for those of you that have an established business, don't underestimate the power of getting your product or service locally, even locally if you have a service that you can't commoditize nationwide, but even locally, what could you sell on your website by simply linking a PayPal purchase here now button and letting people buy something online that you're already selling in your store? My daughter just this week went to a store, Allison, who has a small business. Matt's daughters have small businesses too. We're going to have them on the show, mind you guys. But she walked into a store and I said, that is so awesome. Is she selling it on the web? She goes, no, she doesn't even have a website. And I go, you got to be kidding me. she could sell it for three times as much on the web. And she goes, I know, I got such a deal. So, I mean, there's so many people out there that have small businesses. And if you don't know what to do, just carefully interview and hire a web programmer that's affordable. And you can get started at elance.com and just getting a web person that can even log in remotely from five states away to help you design a better website. My second point is there's a huge group out there that are really finding the amazing power of Amazon reselling, Etsy, eBay. There is Matt, how many clients I can't even count how many clients we have that are making six figures a year just working on their computer a few hours a day after they get the model in place. I don't want to make it sound like get rich quick or easy, but clients that are making money selling on the web. It is unbelievable. No storefront, No overhead per se. They can plug in their computer and start selling once they learn the procedure and system. So if you're out there, folks, and you enjoy being on the web, you enjoy selling things and product, and you have some level of technical skill sets, you could find a career in this area. It's amazing what internet marketing can do. So anyway, just a couple tips there while we're on this topic what I'm seeing. Matt, what tip would you give to on internet marketing? Any takeaways?
Yeah, I really loved what Steve had to say about think of where your customers or potential customers gather. My daughter, for example, her business, she sells hats. You can find her on Instagram, Divine Dough Goods, at Divine Dough Goods. She also sells on Etsy, but all of her marketing, she's got thousands of followers on Instagram. They are mostly 20 to 30 something year old women, and they buy these hats. But that's where her customers gather. That generation, that age group, loves Instagram. They're always on Instagram. They are not on Facebook. It's not Facebook. They're on Instagram. And they're not on other social media. They're not going to be on LinkedIn. And so it's been a great medium because that's where that customer base gathers. Just for myself, I think of myself, LinkedIn's very, I have many people reach out to me proactively, and that tells me that's where a lot of my customers automatically are gathering because that's where they're reaching out to me from. So I think of those places when you think of social media in finding people so you can market your services, and it's kind of maybe lead generation or just to get word out there. Think of where your potential customer typically gathers and see what tools are already out there, whether it may be Facebook or a lot of all the other social media options that are out there. But that was really, really an important point.
Well, Matt, great tip. And I just to give you a little takeaway, in the next few weeks, Matt and I are going to have a show titled, it's ready to roll. We just don't know what's going to roll out in the next few weeks. Please continue to watch our newsletter. Here at the end of the show, there's a little music and a takeaway. If you haven't listened to our show before, there's a link to refreshyourwealth.com, and you can sign up for our newsletter there. Please do it. But we're going to be announcing a show on how to help your children start a small business. And we're going to have some guests on there, a.k.a. some of our kids, and put them on the spot. And we're not going to coach them. I want to just get these couple kids on the show and go, how's it been? What's good? What's bad? What's hard? And talk about some of the businesses we've helped our children start and kind of make it a family show. I think it'll be fun.
Yeah, they're going
to
love it.
I'm nervous to hear what they'll say. Yeah, it's going to be good. So we definitely want to have those on the show. Well, Matt, okay, so question of the week. Embarrassed here. I've been trying to figure out I was looking through my notes. I can't remember our question of the week for
you
last week. I've got to say no.
I know. So I had to listen to the show just before, and I always listen to the show after anyways, but because we did open forum last time, and you had mentioned you were going to do question of the week because I did the one last week, and then we never got to it. So there was not, I don't believe there was a post question at the end.
Well, and I think we've got it. Jennifer in the studio just texted me and said, Mark, It was the hour requirement for an active real estate investor. And there we go. So I got it. So I know you've got a question for this week. So let me give the answer. We didn't have a winner, and that's part of the problem here. I think so many people don't reply because it's so easy. And I was scanning my email, so we didn't have a winner. So we're going to – in fact, maybe let's do that. Should we bump the question for one more week and let me repeat the question? How about that, Matt?
Yeah, now this is low-hanging fruit to everyone listening that didn't take advantage and answer to get the response.
Yeah, this is a free book in the balance. So if you're a new listener, this is your chance to win a free book of either mine or Matt's with shipping. I mean, this is a $15 value unless if you've got Amazon Prime. So it's pretty cool. You're going to want to send your response to Mark, M-A-R-K, at kkoslawyers.com or Matt, M-A-T, one T, M-A-T, at kkoslawyers.com. Here was the question. Many of our clients buy real estate. We want to maximize the real estate deduction, the real estate loss deduction, because on paper, you're going to lose money even though you're cash flowing. And we want all of our clients to be thinking about rental real estate. So the question was, if I'm an active real estate investor, if I check the box, active real estate investor, is there a time requirement? Is there something I need to do other than check the box? Is there a certain amount of time? Is there some major time requirement in order to be an active real estate investor? So if you've got that answer and you're listening here, even on the weekend on the podcast, and you're thinking someone has obviously already responded, it's so easy. I know the answer. I've been to Mark's workshop. I've been to Matt's workshop. I know the answer. You could win a book. Send us an email, Mark or Matt at kkoslawyers.com. There we go.
And I, well, thanks for throwing that out there. And that relieved me of having to do a question of the week too, but I'll be ready for next week. But I also want to make sure everybody knows, make sure you're going to iTunes, subscribing to the show. I know many of you already listen on iTunes, and that's how you're listening to us now. We could also use some 5-star reviews. And I just want to read one that we got recently. This was from Phenomenal Felicia, who gave this review just a week or so ago. It says, Transformational Station, Refresh Your Wealth Radio. Experienced Mark in January 2016 at Chicago at a speaking event. I've Googled all things Mark Kolder, signed up for the newsletter, catching up on shows. Love the out-of-the-box strategies and your guys' sense of humor. So 5-star review from Phenomenal Felicia. Now, as everyone knows, or maybe you don't know, if you give us a 5-star review on iTunes, send us a separate email. Let us know, because sometimes we don't know, you know, what your iTunes handle is. And you also get a free copy of either mine or Mark's book. So please get onto iTunes. The 5-star reviews really help us market the show and help other people find it. And thanks for those 85 who have already given us a 5-star review.
All right. I love it. And last comment before we send you off, and this is important, so don't turn off your radio yet. If you're working out, this is important. As we plan for the summer and fall, we've got our estate planning special coming up. It's our third annual. We only do it once a year, and we give a special discount for wills and trusts so that all of our clients that have been putting it off can get a discount. Look for those emails with that discount. Also, I'll be in Seattle next week. There's a link on our newsletter of how to get involved in that. If you want to come to that real estate evening at one of the clubs there locally in Puget Sound. And it's not Puget Sound. Or Puget Sound, it's Puget Sound. For those that are Washingtonians, you know, you appreciate it. I grew up in Washington State. I know Puget Sound. go watch War Games with Matthew Broderick, you know, in just preparation for the day. But that's going to be next week. And last weekend, I just want to give kudos to my amazing partner, Matt Sorensen. We did this Phoenix self-directed IRA summit. It will be coming out on recording soon. I had a client today, Matt asked when they could get the recording. So I know you're going to be sending out a link for people to get that recording too.
Yeah, we had it's in edit right now. It was an awesome event. We had over 230 total attendees, sold out the live event, and had another 150 on the virtual. So thanks for all those who participated. And yeah, the recording is going to be up on the summit site, and so look for it there in about a week or so.
Yep, and I'll be announcing my dates for my 5 locations this fall for my 6th annual fall tax and legal tour. where I give updates for the year, special tax strategies for 2016. It's only a couple hundred bucks and includes lunch. It's a tax deductible day. And I have one of those workshops in Hawaii, not because I want to go to Hawaii. I do it for you so that you can take a tax deductible trip to Hawaii. It's a sacrifice. Yeah. But of course, I joke because I love my clients in Hawaii. I love to get over there. Okay. Well, we're not going anywhere. We're going to continue to be here every week. And it's part of our dedication to the American dream and to you. So, Matt, any final words?
Hey, thanks for being with us, everybody, today. I really enjoyed this show and got a lot of value out of it. Hopefully you did, too. And we'll continue to bring on awesome guests like Steve.
Yep. We'll see you next week, folks, for another episode of Refresh Your Wealth, noon live Mountain Time on Wednesdays. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks for listening to another hour of refreshing strategies to better live your American dream.
Don't forget to get your free copy of Mark and Matt's ebooks and sign up for their weekly free newsletter with important tax deadlines and articles at refreshyourwealth.com.